continue worship with a time of prayer, and I invite you to take a few moments of silent prayer and to lift up those folks who are in need of prayer who are part of this congregation. And I want to share with you that Alan Shepard, who had been in rehab and then in hospice care, passed away yesterday evening. So please be in prayer for his family this morning. And also continue to remember the family of Bob Garrity, whose service of celebration of life and resurrection was yesterday. And so we hope you'll continue to pray for his family. And as we pray for these folks in our congregation, we also pray for our city. We pray for this city of God, and for justice, and for peace, and for mercy. So let's have a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll lead us in prayer together. God, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, and we gather this morning to worship you. Some of us come here with enthusiasm and anticipation, some with reluctance, some come with joy, some with sadness, and others even with fear. Yet we know you receive us as we are and guide us to be more as you intend for us to be. God of love, we are a people who long to love, and a people who often fail. Forgive us when our actions hurt ourselves and others. Forgive us when we do not choose words with care, and then hurt our family, friends, or neighbors. Teach us what it means to truly be a good neighbor and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This morning we lift our prayers to you for our community and our neighbors. For those who are sick, bring healing. For those who are hungry or homeless or in need, may we surround them with love and support. For those who are lonely or struggle with anxiety or depression, may they know the strength of your embrace. For those who mourn, bring comfort. For those who celebrate new life, may they be filled with joy and anticipation. To all, O God, grant you peace. Touch us, God, with your power, and send us back into this community and into our neighborhoods renewed and eager to do your will with simple acts of love and kindness. Give us patience. Show us your way so that we may walk in paths of goodness, truth, and light. Through your Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our mission box this morning is for Faith Mission. Faith Mission is a ministry of Trinity on the east side of town with a location, and then Ward Simonson is the director of Faith Mission, and he's a part of the Trinity staff team, and they're engaged in some significant ministry in very powerful ways. And so I invite you to take a listen and a look as you hear from the voices of those directly involved.
Good morning. Trinity's ministry at Faith Mission is our mission box today. Faith Mission supports children and youth in wonderful ways. Let's hear from kids share about the programs they are in.
Well, my mentor, he inspired me to do what I wanted to be, like a football player. He inspired me to do that.
Well, the thing I like about my mentor,
I can talk to her about things that I can't really talk to nobody else about.
If you have a mentor, you can depend on them, and they'll push you forward.
She makes me feel good about myself because she inspired me to do great things. And she told me about her childhood, and it kind of connected to mine. So I get to talk to her about things like that.
When I first started, I started with my work and working a lot, and then I get paid. But now I think it's more to it than that. You work, read, learn, and have fun at the same time.
You learn life lessons. You meet up with new people. Everybody shares an experience that's kind of similar.
Well, at LOL, I've learned carpentry, and I've learned like to become a better man and get my own chair, and to respect my mother-in-law.
The book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful Teens, it'll help me, just stay on task and not goof around the school. And it just showed me how important it is and how much it means to life.
My thoughts of LOL is really fun and inspiring. I get to, everybody here at LOL believes in me that I can do great things when I grow up, or I can do great things now.
Great Dance Scout makes me feel great. I can be myself at Dance Scout. I love the staff and I feel lucky. Dance Scout helped me with helping me get ready for third grade. But I like about the volunteers and tutors. They're very helpful and encouraging.
What's your favorite thing about your tutors and volunteers?
That they make me happy.
Do they do anything specific to make you happy?
Yes.
Like what?
Like reading books to me, playing games with me, and helping me do my own.
Kids Count make me feel happy.
Our goal this year for renovations at Faith Mission is $25,000. Through special giving and your generosity, we have achieved almost half of our goal so far. Thank you very much for your continued support. There are a variety of ways that you can be involved with Kids Count, Smile, and LOL. Please visit the Faith Mission Volunteer Opportunity page at the Trinity website to learn more. Good morning.
Doesn't that just make you want to be involved? So you can get involved through Kids Count, working with the little kids, Smile Mentoring Program, working with older elementary school kids, or the Leaders Overcoming Faith. And you can support the renovations for the ongoing ministry housed in those facilities through your mission box offerings this morning. Those are the boxes, the wooden boxes by each of the exit doors, and we encourage you to be generous. And then also you heard one of those young men talking about all of the life skills that they learned, but also including carpentry. And there are three different items that they have actually made that are out underneath the oak tree, and I invite you to stop by and take a look. And you can take one of those items home with you by bidding on those items as well. Your ongoing offerings and the ways that you share your resources make a difference in Trinity, in all of our missions and ministries. And so each Sunday in worship, we have the opportunity to offer our gifts back to God through Trinity. So I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me now. Mighty and everlasting God, you willingly equip us with your love and insights and give us the resources to meet every challenge in our community. Make us bold to live as Christ's disciples. May the gifts we offer to you, the lives we live for you, the witness we make for you, be a testimony to the love that led Christ to the cross, his precious life given for each of us. As we leave worship this morning, may our living bear witness to your giving. In the name of Christ we pray.
planned that. I mean, who would have thought, right? Golly. Thank you, choir. Appreciate that very much. Today wraps up a series of messages that we've been in to kick off the new school year. You've seen the sweater and the shoes and the chair reminding us of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, a place where every child is loved and cared for. And it's been an opportunity for us to explore what it means for us to be good neighbors in the communities where we live as a way of living out that greatest commandment to love God and to love neighbor as self. So our scripture reading for today, as we wrap it up, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read it today from the Message version of Scripture because I think that may allow us to hear it with fresh ears in a little bit different way from perhaps how we're accustomed to hearing this passage. So you're welcome to follow along on the screens as I read for us today. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's the more familiar, perhaps, or traditional language in which this scripture passage is cast. Salt and light, two things that are ordinary and common and yet also extraordinary in what they do. And Jesus uses these two metaphors in today's passage in order to describe what the character of our witness as followers of Christ should be. You know, both salt and light have a sensory dimension. You can taste salt, and it makes a difference in the other flavors on which it is put. Light you can see, and the light, when it comes on, enhances your ability to see other things as well. You can tell whenever salt or light is present. It makes a difference in its surroundings. So today, the passage, the context for the scripture passage is the Sermon on the Mount. We find that in the 5th through the 7th chapters of Matthew, a place where Matthew brings Jesus' most important teachings all into one compilation. And so Jesus is speaking to the crowd, and when he uses the metaphor of light, it would have been something that was already familiar to them. You see, most, if not all, of the crowd would have been people of Israel, people of Jewish faith. And so they had grown up with the Hebrew Scriptures, which included, in a couple of different places, in the prophet Isaiah's writings, the words, "You are to be a light to the nations." So for them to hear the charge that they are supposed to be light would not have been a new thing. Jesus is merely calling them, reminding them, to be who they are meant to be in all the world. We could say this morning that being a good neighbor is a tangible way for each of us to be who we are meant to be in the world as followers of Christ. In being a good neighbor, we can be the kind of Christ follower who offers salt and light. And our lives, through that living saltiness and light bearing, should should be noticeable. It is clear from the metaphors that Jesus chooses that our lives, our Christian witness, should be noticeable to others around us. Last week, Catherine mentioned the idea of living a questionable life. It's evangelist Michael Frost who first used that terminology as a way of saying that if we are really following Christ out in the world, then people will notice, and at some point along the way, it just might cause them to wonder, what is it about you that causes you to speak and to act and to care the way you do? Our lives, our behavior as Christ followers should provoke curiosity. Of course, the alternative to this is for other people to see nothing different in our lives because we are Christ followers. And that's not a very promising perspective, is it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the early part of the 20th century, wrote that to flee into invisibility is to deny the call of discipleship. Any community of Jesus which wants to be invisible is no longer a community that follows him. Now, this becomes particularly striking when we remember the circumstances into which Bonhoeffer was speaking and preaching and writing. He was a Lutheran pastor in Germany in the 1920s and 30s, and then imprisoned in the 40s. Because he was saying that the church should bear witness amidst the atrocities that were happening in that country through Hitler's practices in the Third Reich, Bonhoeffer was saying the church should not be invisible or silent. Sometimes invisibility has more damaging consequences than others. And we, church, are meant to shine, even if it may be costly for us. The character of our lives should cause others in our neighborhoods to take notice. It should make a difference. So I was thinking about this over the past week, and people I have known over the years who just seem to have that quality of letting their light shine as a good neighbor to others. And you know, one of the people that came to mind for me is somebody that's in this service just about every Sunday, Mike Smith. Mike Smith, more than 30 years ago, was one of the first people to welcome me to Trinity, the first time I ever came to Trinity, because Catherine and I were dating in college at the time. And if you know Mike, or if you've gotten to know Mike, you know that there's not a person that is not a neighbor to him. He treats everybody as a neighbor. He does that here as he walks around and greets you all on Sunday morning. He does it at the doors as people are coming in and going out. But he doesn't just do it here. Show up at the Millhopper Publix on any of the days he's working, and he's sure to welcome you there too and be neighborly and friendly. This guy is unflappable in being kind and hospitable to others and offers all of us an example of what it looks like to be salt and light to others around us. So thank you, Mike, for your witness. I'm grateful. Now, just so we are clear, when we start thinking about salt and light, let us remember the rest of the passage, that it is not for our own sake that we do this. It is not to draw attention to ourselves or to gain notoriety or credit for ourselves. And so Jesus' choice of metaphors in this passage are just perfect. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that Jesus would choose the perfect metaphors for the situation, right? Salt and light. Think about those for a minute. Salt and light are never of benefit for themselves. They are always for the benefit of something else that they enhance. They don't, or at least they aren't meant to draw attention to themselves. Salt enhances the flavor of the food that it is used on. Light enhances the environment in which it lights up a space so that we can see more clearly. And anytime salt or light draws attention to itself, it's not a very good thing. When salt draws attention to itself, it means that it has been overused, and it ends up masking the flavor that it was intended to enhance. When light is so bright that it draws attention to itself, it generally hurts our eyes rather than enabling us to see what really matters. And so Jesus, to make this clear for us at the end of today's passage, says, "Let your light shine in such a way that others will see your good works and praise you for it." People will see your good works and give glory to God. You see, our witness, our questionable lives are meant to point others to the one we serve, to the one we follow, and to the one who loves us all. Let your light Well, I was all ready to extend an invitation to you at this point in the service today. You see, our children's ministry team had thought up a great way for us to practically let a little light shine to our Trinity name. Many of you know that our property, we share a border with Talbot Elementary School. And there are ways in which Trinity and Talbot have been practicing good neighboring with each other for a long time. And this summer, our children's ministry team was thinking about other ways we could be good neighbors to Talbot. And one of the things they came up with was for us to write notes of encouragement to those teachers, to let them know, to let the staff at Talbot know that we are thinking about them, we are praying for them, we want to encourage them as they start a new year. So guess what happened? After the second service this morning, the rest of the notes that we had prepared to hand out to you all today as you left this place, as you walked out the doors, were all gone because so many people took me up on my offer. So here's what I'm going to tell you instead. For those of you who still feel like shining a little light in a practical way and maybe being an overachiever, we have another school that we are neighbors with as well. Rawlings Elementary is where a lot of those children go that you saw in the video. And Rawlings Elementary is practically right across the street from our Faith Mission location. It would not take much for you to go on Rawlings' website and find the name of a teacher that you could write a note to and give them a word of encouragement for the school year that's just gotten underway. So if you want to take me up on my invitation and challenge, I'm going to let you all, 11 o'clock crowd, offer a word of encouragement to our teachers over at Rawlings. Let them know that you are thinking about them and praying for them. You know, a little encouragement goes a long way. You've had that experience before where somebody nudged you with a little encouragement and it made a difference for you. We can do that for others as an expression of our love for God and a way of shining a little light. Now, word of caution, as we kind of get back to the neighborhoods in which we live and being good neighbors with the folks who are to our left and our right and across the street and just around the corner. Good neighboring is not always easy. Sometimes neighbors can be frustrating and angry and irritable. Sometimes neighbors can be hard to get along with. And some of your neighbors probably think the same thing about you. But here's the thing, being salt and light in our neighborhoods, if we are going to follow Christ, being salt and light should not be dependent on our neighbor's good behavior. You see, it's not our place to wait for our neighbor to be kind and nice and pleasant and then decide that we're going to be nice and kind and pleasant back. No, our call to be salt and light is unconditional. Just look at where this instruction shows up in Jesus' teaching in the sermon. right before this, he has given the Beatitudes. And do you remember what the last Beatitude was? Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of ugly things about you. And right after that, he says, now you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We don't get to decide based on how other people behave whether we're going to be salt and light or not. We are called to do it unconditionally. But sometimes good neighboring can be tough. Diana Butler Bass, in her book, Grounded, Finding God in the World, tells the story from her childhood of what she refers to as the great tree slaughter. You see, Diana and her parents lived beside her mother's brother, so her uncle and his wife and their kids, who then lived beside another family that was not family, they were neighbors, but they had all had a good relationship for a long time. But one day, Diana and her family and some other neighbors heard all this commotion outside, and when they came outside to see what was going on, what they saw was her cousin up in the tree that belonged to their neighbor, and he was hacking away with a chainsaw, butchering limbs off of that tree that hung over his parents' driveway. You see, apparently the issue was that this was a fruit-bearing tree, and Diana's uncle was tired of the fruit splatting on the driveway and causing stains all over it, and so decided that he would just ask his son to take matters into his own hands. And so here is the cousin butchering away at that tree, and the neighbor comes out, and you can imagine that was not a particularly pleasant scene for anybody. And Diana uses the story as a way to talk about how her mother used that experience to have a conversation with her about the golden rule of treating your neighbor as you would want your neighbor to treat you, and how her uncle had not really done a very good job of doing that in the situation. But as I thought about that story, you know, one of the other things that she says is that part of the fallout of that encounter was that not only did the uncle and the neighbor hold a grudge and not speak to each other anymore, but the neighbor quit making fruit pies that came from the fruit of that tree, not only for their family, but for anybody in the neighborhood. Which made me think, you know what? Salt and light. What if that neighbor had decided, you know what, no matter what, even though that neighbor, her uncle, behaved in such a poor way, what if that neighbor had decided, I'm just going to keep right on making fruit pies and giving them to my neighbors, even to my next door neighbor? I have to wonder what kind of a difference that might make. You see, we're called to be salt and light not because of our neighbor's behavior, but because we are followers. In their book, The Art of Neighboring, the authors tell a story about Pete. Pete and his wife were neighbors with a man who had a dog that barked incessantly. Somebody's had this experience in the choir loft, I can tell. Barked incessantly, and it was frustrating Pete and his wife, and it was particularly upsetting to them because they had a very young child, and it seemed that the times when the dog would bark the loudest were the times when they were trying to let the child sleep, and it would inevitably wake the child up. Now, any parent knows how exasperating that is when you've worked so hard to get the child to sleep, and then something wakes them up, right? So Pete and his wife talked about it, tried to figure out what to do, and finally Pete said, okay, I'll go over and I'll have a conversation with them about it and see if we can work something out. So Pete knocks on his neighbor's door one day and explains the situation, and, you know, could you please do something about your dog? And the neighbor says no, and it ends up not going very well. They both raise their voices and raise their tempers, and the conversation ends with nobody being satisfied, and at best they simply agree to disagree, but Pete and his wife are still frustrated, and the baby's still waking up, and the dog's still barking. And so they live side by side really without having any contact with each other for a while, until a couple of months later, it was winter, and the first snow had fallen, and Pete had gone outside to shovel the snow out of his driveway, and something grabbed a hold of Pete that day, and he was nudged. When he finished his, he noticed that his neighbor hadn't shoveled his driveway yet, and so Pete decided to just wander over to that next driveway and start shoveling his neighbor's snow off of his driveway as well. And Pete said that he was just about finished with the job when he noticed that the front door opened to the house and a man walked out who he didn't recognize and walked over to where Pete was standing to say thank you. He identified himself as the neighbor's brother, and shared with Pete that his brother had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and that he would never have been able to come out and get that done, and other members of the family were trying to come alongside and help, but it sure was a blessing that Pete had been willing to do that for them. Pete says, you know, the dog still barked at him. But all of a sudden, the neighbor's dog barking didn't matter nearly as much. When he realized that his neighbor had something much more serious, much more significant going on, he could hardly even notice the sound of that dog barking anymore. The character of our lives, being salt and light in our neighborhood, should be noticeable and should make a difference. Not only in the lives of our neighbors, as this story about Pete tells, but also in our own lives, too. As we live out that witness, something happens not only to them, but to us. Golly, it sure is hard sometimes, isn't it? There will be good days, and there will be not so good days when it comes to the art of neighboring. Hopefully there are way more good days than there are not so good days. But even on the bad days, I would say to you today, don't give up. When it comes to being neighborly, don't lose heart. Cal Ripken, one of the greatest professional baseball players ever to play the game, Hall of Famer, long career with the Baltimore Orioles. In 1988, he was 7 years into his career, and he, by the end of that season, he was into a streak of consecutive games played that had passed 1,000. That season, the Baltimore Orioles finished the year with 54 wins and 107 losses. That's a terrible year. Imagine if Cal, at the end of that year, had said, you know what, it's been a terrible year for our team. I think I'm just going to stop for a while. It's not making a difference anyway. I think I'm just going to step back and, you know, I've been playing through injuries and playing through hardships. I don't need to do that. I'm just going to step back for a while. Well, if Cal had taken that attitude, he never would have set the record, a record that most experts say will never be broken, a record that ended up with more than 2,600 games played consecutively over a 17-year period. And he wouldn't have gotten to participate in the successes, the better years that Baltimore had following that 54 and 107 year. It did make a difference. Why do I tell you that story? Say this, when it comes to being a good neighbor, don't give up. neighbor because it is the love that God has shown you. You don't need to be insistent on the results or resistant when the results aren't exactly what you were looking for or hoping for. Just keep playing the game. Be the neighbor that God has called you. To be salt and light is to treat our neighborhoods as if they really do matter. They are one of the gifts that God has given us and a place to shine the light of God's love. Diana Butler Bass puts it this way. We might neglect or forget this, but the congregation of our lives, isn't it interesting that she uses that word, congregation? The congregation of our lives with those nearby, those that we live close to, is sacred. It is a human geography in a spiritual habitat. To remember and to reconnect with our neighborhoods and with our neighbors is a life-giving, sane, and humane way of life. You know, it really is. God, thank you. Thank you for giving us neighbors. Neighbors that teach us to love as you have loved us. Neighbors that give us an opportunity to be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs us. May we shine the light that you have put in each of us for your sake and for the well-being of us all.
Spoke of staying in the game. And this table is intended to help us do just that. Because I think Jesus knew full well that if we went out into the world to be salt and light in real time with real people, that we would be coming back to this table feeling less than salty, or maybe too salty, and feeling like our light was diminished. And we would need to be refilled and refueled and given the means of grace to go back out into the world. Jesus also knew that we were going to run into opportunities that required we forgive. So we forgive our neighbors, or we forgive those in our household, or we forgive those in our community of faith or in our places of work. And I think that Jesus knew we were going to struggle with that too. But sometimes we would come to this table and we would need to be fully reminded that Jesus poured out his life and forgave us before we even had a clue that we needed forgiveness. That on the cross, Jesus hung there in pain and cried out, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing." Likewise, when we come to this table, we come and we receive the grace that reminds us that God loves us so much and has forgiven us of so much. And as we come, maybe not immediately, but as we come and we keep coming, this grace becomes a means for us to be able to authentically be able to turn to God and say, "Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And help me forgive them. Maybe I don't really understand why they're doing what they're doing, but they need to be forgiven, and I need to offer forgiveness." And so, Jesus took bread and gave thanks to the Father, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." Thanks to the Father, and gave it to the disciples and said, take and drink. This is the covenant, the new covenant that I am pouring out for all for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you partake in this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that redeems us and allows us to be the body of Christ in the world. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory and we all feast together. Lord, some of us are coming to the table this morning knowing that our salt has lost flavor. Our light feels like it's flickering. Renew us through this sacred meal. Others of us are coming needing to offer forgiveness to others, and we are struggling to do that. Help us encounter your grace and to know the goodness of your forgiveness in such a way that it enables us to see our neighbors as you see them and to be able to offer forgiveness where we have been unable to do so. Through this meal, Lord, help us to be who you created us to be and to go out in the world and help others come to know your goodness and your love because of it. For your glory and in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be serving with us to go ahead and come forward and prepare those elements now. And as you, I want to share with you that in the United Methodist Church and in Trinity specifically, you do not need to be a member of our church or any church to be able to participate in this meal. This is an open table. It is open to anyone and everyone who simply wants to respond to God's grace and to come with hands open to receive what God has for you today. For God's grace is enough. And as you're responding to that grace and wanting to come to receive, we'll invite you to start with the rows that are in front in your section. Exit to the left. Come forward to the pair of servers that will be in front of you. They'll pair off a piece of bread. And if you hold your hand out, they'll put that piece of bread in your hand. And then you will take that and dip it into the grape juice. And then eat it. And then you are welcome to come and pray at the kneeling rails, or you can return to your section by the right side. If you would like to sing with the choir, you can do that. If you just need to listen to what God is saying to you, that's good too. We do have gluten-free on either side. If you need that, please tell us. We'll be more than happy to serve you. Come, all is ready. Thank you. you have come to your table this morning and tasted and seen that your grace is sufficient and your forgiveness is overwhelming. Having tasted and seen, help us now stay in the game. Help us to be salt and light in our neighborhood. And help us to love others as you have first loved us, so that they may come to know your love for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand? In the beginning, this grand conductor, hands poised in silence and darkness, telling instruments when to ascend their notes with one brush of his hand. Stars and sun and moon draw their bows across strings and fire up the skies with light. Water rushes percussive, surging and beating its timbre. God's light has a way of changing nothing into something. This earth we know started off void, nothingness. And so God said, let there be light. And there was light and life and breath. Shards of brightness interrupted earth's nothingness until earth was never the same again. Our lives started off void. And so God said, let there be light. We were blind with no sight for love or peace. But this is no surprise. Since the beginning, humanity has been hiding, using shadow and cloth and figs to cover mistakes, imperfections, sin. But you, God, never hide, because you have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hide from. No matter how hard we try, we cannot hide from you. So you sent your Son, who carried heaven's brightness around his shoulders, a redeemer to rescue the captives, to save the prisoners from themselves, and your light pierced our eyes. Cut through our soul, we could barely lay our sights on him who paid our ransom, him who is the embodiment of light and salvation, the Son of God. Came to shine, that our eyes might focus on the one who sent him, that he may search and know us, that our hearts may desire to follow him, that our lives may be open and laid bare before him, that we may follow the light of the world, walk in the light of the Lord, that we would be light to a dying world. God is still saying, let there be light, and his light still shines on hearts and souls, gives truth and hope. May the way we love shine his light. May how we spend our cents and seconds shine his light. May our hearts and minds shine his light. May our lives shine his light.
Three quick things. two, if you want to write a note, we have an even better idea. You know, Catherine helps me out with this stuff sometimes. So we're going to have notes for you to pick up next week to write a note to Rollins, so that it'll already have teachers' names on it. It'll be ready to go. That way we don't have one teacher get a dozen and another teacher get none. So we will have those next week for you all at 11 o'clock to be able to be a part of. And three, you know, we've been using this graphic during the series to show you are here and then who your neighbors are around you. So today as you leave, make sure you pick up one of these fridge magnets that you can put on your refrigerator at home to help you as you continue to get to know your neighbors and write their names down as you get to know them. So go out. Yeah, it's a little dry erase board. So go out to shine your light so that through you others might come to know and see and experience the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.